And then we had one on Brookside Drive, and that one occurred because the door was left open, and they took an Xbox 360. I'm not going to go through the larcenies. There's too many of them. And since our department changed over our beach structure, the whole computer system hasn't caught up yet. So if you have a question about one of these, I brought my computer with me. Come see me afterwards, and I will gladly answer that question. We'll do larcenies for motor vehicles. All of them, everything was in sight. Either the doors were unlocked, or they had a GPS hanging out, they had a purse on the front seat.
Step forward just a little bit.
Well, they had a purse on the front seat. Everything was in plain view. We had three motor vehicle thefts. One, the suspect is believed to be the son. The second one, the keys were in the car and running. And the third one was actually not even a breaking and entering. The officer that wrote it up mislabeled it. And it was actually a breaking and entering where they took some pieces off of the rim. They took some pieces off of that. We had one rape. That rape was, it's in question right now as a runaway. And when she returned home during her investigation with the detective, she claimed that she was raped. So that's still pending. We don't know if it actually occurred yet. The old DMV building behind Food Lion, that was our one robbery for commercial. Two guys walked from Summer King's Court, walked into there, robbed them and left. They have since now closed the doors after a certain time, and they only serve people through closed doors, which was the recommendation that I gave them about 2 months ago. And then the one I kind of met was a targeted robbery of Hispanics. That occurred right around pay time, I believe. Yeah, it was on the 28th. But enough of the bad news. We got some good news.
Sorry.
Some good news here is Messiah Fashions has basically been evicted. From all the stuff that we've done, if nobody knows who they are, it's that store that's 1100 North Raleigh Boulevard, which is a hangout for drug dealers and gangbangers. This had nothing to do with the recent search warrant that they did on his Messiah Fashions 2 off of Rose Lane. That was just a random stroke of luck for us. But because of the actions and the search warrant that we did, I contacted Henry Ward, who is the property manager through York's Properties, and we went ahead and got him evicted. So anytime within the next week or two, he'll be out of there. I talked to our grants manager, and we're just waiting on the President of the United States to release the money for funding. And as soon as that money is released, we're going to get that money, and we're going to go ahead and institute the things we were talking about as far as off-duty police officers in the whole entire area surrounding the Raleigh-Glasscock intersection. So you're going to be 3 nights a week, about 6 to 8 hours. You're going to have two officers that are just going to be on foot, on bike, on horse, or in a car in this whole area out here. Lions Park, the old DMV, Glasscock Street, Larson Drive, Raleigh Boulevard, Brookside Drive, Burgundy, Millbank, you name it, they're going to be out there. And it's going to last as long as the money goes. And we're looking at getting at least $75,000, and we need to spend that $75,000 within a 6 month period so we can get another $75,000 next year. Part of that $75,000 is going to be going to internet wireless cameras that are going to be put up in the area. The officers will have limited access, and the line officers, and then some of the other officers will have more access, whereas they can actually move the cameras, pan, tilt, zoom, all that stuff. Everything will be recorded and backed up on a 30-day period, so anything that happens within that 30 days will be recorded on that camera. And in case, like right now, we have a shooting that occurred over on Oakwood Avenue that they're handling right now, and we happen to have cameras out there. So they're going to go back through that over the last day or so. And they're going to see, or not the last day, but over this period of the day, and see what happened, who was out there, question those people, and try and determine a suspect. Other than that, went to my gang class. It was pretty informative. So now I know how to read gang graffiti, and I've learned, and Michael Bowen was there with me. I've actually learned that it's really not what you look at. There's a lot more to that graffiti than just what it says, and how they write it, and the symbols they use, and the amount of symbols that they use, and stuff like that. So I've gone back through all the gang graffiti that I've seen out here, and we've actually read it, and it actually tells you a lot more than what you think it does. Other than that, we had 404 Colleton. I know that was a problem house. We've done some investigation. investigatory measures on that one, and we came up negative. We will try again, I promise you, because there were certain things in there that piqued my curiosity, so we will go back again and take a look at that house. What I need for you guys to do is send me more houses, more people, more trouble spots that you think need to be addressed. Send them via email. All I need is the place, the location, the address, suspected activity, time of day, as descriptive as you can get without actually going out there and, you know, with a notepad and looking like Sherlock Holmes and taking notes. As much information as you can get to me without putting yourself in danger, it would be all the better. But basically, I just need, for example, this house at so-and-so Boulevard, lots of foot traffic. No person, no visitor stays more than 5 minutes. They're in and out. Lots of trash baggies, lots of sandwich bags all over the place. A lot of vehicular traffic, stuff like that. Things that would point out to be a drug house. If you have a liquor house, even better. Sometimes, like, we just did a search warrant with ALE on Friday, which they had a 2-year investigation going on. We did 6 entries at one time, all throughout Southeast Raleigh, and we busted up a gambling ring. Like, they were getting a lot of money, $10,000 to $20,000 a week, and they were just going to houses, dropping off envelopes, going around, and we found a lot of stuff. And obviously, what comes with gambling is money, and the money is drugs and guns, and some type of gang is involved. So we did bust that up. Luckily, none of that was in our area; it was in the other areas. But we helped out some of the other officers. Other than that, I can't think of much else to say. I don't have any information on the office. But what I am hoping is, now that Messiah Fashions is out of there, it would make a more powerful statement for us to get in there and take over his spot, slap a big old Raleigh police stick on the front of that window, and take that office. I think that's more powerful than going and taking over an old doctor's office. And I think you guys would enjoy it more, because we'd have direct line of vision to the cut through at the old, for the old DMV, which obviously we're having a lot more problems now. I do ask you to be wary. The summer, the cool weather is coming. You guys love it. Police officers hate it, because a lot more people come out, a lot more activity. They're not staying inside to deal with drugs. They're actually coming out in the open air. They're coming into contact with the good citizens that are assaulting them, they're shooting them, they're robbing them, they're stealing stuff out of their vehicles. So I understand that in the summer, I'm going to give a forewarning. Your vehicles are get hot. Don't leave those windows cracked. Don't leave anything out in the plain view, like we saw here. Everything that was stolen out of vehicles, and all the vehicles that were stolen, were in plain view. Keys left, doors unlocked, stuff like that. So just use our street sense when it comes to that. Lock, take, and hide. Right? We speak about that every time. It's good to see that it's going down. I think we had, at one point, we had like 20 of them in 1 month, and that was just from vehicles. And on top of that, we had 5 stolen vehicles, because it was cold and people were leaving the vehicles running and warming them up in their driveways. These kids don't care. They're on year-round, they're whatever. They're suspended out of school. They see a running car and they got to go across town to their homeboy's house or to their girlfriend's house. They're going to hop in your car and take it. And they're going to take it for a joyride. They're going to ditch it in one of the ditches because they don't have to pay for it, and they're going to go to the house. Does anybody have any questions? Any concerns? Yes, ma'am. Yes, well, the first I heard about that was from your email, and I'm sorry, her question was, if anybody hasn't noticed, Russell Allen was talking about cutting the graffiti removal team out of the city's budget. I really won't comment on that, but I can say that I think it would do a disjustice to us, and it would actually help out the gang members, because after going to this gang class, we understand that they don't just use the graffiti to mark their turf. They use their graffiti to start war against another set. They use their graffiti to tell you exactly what they're doing on that spot. Hey, my name is this. I sell drugs. This is the type of drugs that I sell, and I'm right down here. All that can be told from a shamrock and an arrow. I mean, it's really, really ridiculous. But I haven't heard anything about it. I know it's been proposed. We actually have a presentation with the chief next week, or this week, is it not? I think it's Thursday or Friday. And I'm going to mention something about that, about the graffiti, and how awesome that the graffiti removal team has been. And they've removed graffiti almost 5-10 minutes after we've called it in. So it's been really good. It hasn't let the gangs take a stronghold on a certain area. Other, I hope that answered your question, by the way. I know somebody also asked about, they sent me an email about the gangs at one of the schools. I've been in contact with the gang investigators, and I've talked to some of the Wake County gang investors and the Raleigh Police gang investors. So I haven't sent anything back because they haven't given me any information, but I am still working on that, and I will find out more information. And once we have that, then I will meet with the gang investigators from the Wake County Public School System, and we will determine if there is a problem, and if there is, how we're going to go about solving that problem. Another big thing, another meeting that we went to was this year we're having some youth summer programs. One thing that I did tell them was that one of the meetings last year, a lot of people were interested in volunteering their services for these youth programs. Everybody said we need programs for the youth. Well, we need volunteers to help us out, whether we do a career day, whether we do, if somebody knows, hey, I know you can get a bus that you can use for 2 weeks to transport these kids, because we're having transportation issues. We don't have the funding to rent a bus every single day to get these kids. And what this is going to do is take these kids that are breaking into these houses, that are breaking into these vehicles, they're getting recruited out of the TOPS program right here where Ms. Jones is sitting in that office, and we're going to put them somewhere where they can learn a career goal, they can get educated, they can get off the street, so they're not worrying about breaking into your house to get that new Xbox game. We're going to send them right down here where some of the people from their community can talk to them, the police officers can talk to them, we can have a new relationship with them, but they can also see that the people in their community care about them. So if anybody at all is interested or knows any type of resource that they can donate, or anybody who can donate resources or somewhere we can go for resources, just email me, come see me after the meeting, and we can get this thing going. Because in the long run, if we take these kids off the street at an early age, we can prevent them from being recruited into these gangs, which we had a big problem right here in this place, right here where you're sitting. They come in and recruit them out of the TOPS program, big time. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Ms. Jones. She had a problem about it. They also had a bunch of Crips that were in here a while back playing basketball, and there was almost a gang fight between the Crips because this is a predominantly blood area. So anybody says that there's not a gang problem, there is. We're working on it. It's not as big as Durham. It's not as big as some of these other places because, fortunately, we have enough officers to put a gang suppression unit out there. We've been out there. They've been out to Pericos where they just had that shooting. They've been out to Club Envy, which used to be Club Black Ties. Three shootings out there now? We're going to have a third gang suppression unit also. They're going to have a third SWAT team. So we're going to have a lot of stuff going on. And all that comes with the chief. We have a lot more officers on here. The new beat system, it really didn't affect our district at all. It stayed the same, except we lost Haywood Street, which is good for us, because that was a heck of a street to have. The beats got modified just a little bit, but not enough where it's going to affect you. I'm still going to be your CAC officer. I know you're all happy about that. But other than that, our beat changing is not going to affect the citizens at all. It's actually freed up. It created more beats, and we have more officers, so there's going to be more people out there. And they have less of an area to worry about, so now they can focus on their beat, and it's not so big. Does anybody have any more questions? All right, like I said, if you have any questions about these larcenies or if you want to volunteer, either see me after the meeting or you can send me an email.
Thank you, Officer Crisco. Appreciate that update. In the rush to get everybody ready for their jumping jacks, which we're going to do in about 2 minutes, I forgot to make a couple of quick announcements. Are there any first-time visitors here tonight? Raise your hand, please. Oh, excellent. Lots of good people here. Good. I would like to encourage you, if you haven't already, to make sure you sign our mailing list right up here so that we can get you more information about things, because we have a nice newsletter that you can get mailed, and mailing list, of course, where we update you between our meetings. So please do that on your way out. Yes, Van. Van's our CAC Vice Chair.
So when did you find out how they found out about our meeting?
Van wants to know, of course, if there's a way we can find out how you found out about it and about us. And I guess we would kind of have to alter our form, Charlene, right, in order to do something like that? I've been hoping that we can get an updated form, so maybe when we get that actually implemented.
Help us to target.
Sure, Sure, and we also have this yellow sign out here. I think this is the last one we actually have. If you're interested in putting that in your yard the weekend before our meetings, that's been very instrumental in getting people here who aren't on the mailing list and don't know about the CAC. So the first person that takes it gets to take it home with them, and maybe we can get some more ordered. Van did a wonderful job getting that set up for us, so thanks, Van. And it looks like we might have to put in our next order for those, which is a good thing. Okay, so that's our police report. Now let's hear from Parks and Rec. We've got Jason Clements here, the assistant director, who's going to tell us about some of the parks programs. Thanks.
How's everybody doing tonight? You guys doing good? Well, for some of you guys that don't know me, I am the assistant director at Lions Park here, as Mark alluded to earlier. A little bit about myself for those of you guys that don't know me. Proud graduate of Winston-Salem State University. Also went to grad school at High Point University, and I'm an avid NC State fan. So Carolina making the NIT this weekend wasn't exactly the highlight of my weekend. But with that being said, I'm gonna go ahead and get into it. Our summer camp mail-in and drop-off registration has already began. It actually started on March the 1st. Walk-in will begin on April 13th. Also, we'll have summer camp brochures out in the lobby and at the front desk. So just see our front desk staff, whoever may be working when you're interested. Laura Hills Playground, the City of Raleigh is partnering with Stewart Engineering and Frankie Lemon Foundation to renovate the Laura Hills All Children's Playground. The new playground will be named Sassafras All Children's Playground. I believe the original playground was actually constructed in the early 90s, so they're a little bit overdue for renovations. The community input events will be held at March 6th and 20th at Laura Hills Community Center. So for more information, visit the www.sassafrasplay.org. As far as park planning updates, on February 18th is the Little Rock section of Capital Area Greenway was dedicated. The Greenway will be a half mile section that will connect downtown to Worthdale Park, Pullen Park, NC State, Meredith, the Art Museum, and Umstead Park. So we're talking a pretty big size Greenway. Some upcoming events, Lions Park Playground Community Build Day, as Mark alluded to earlier, will be set for May the 1st at 8:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Volunteers are needed, so if you guys are interested, there's a couple of forms on that table that you guys will need to fill out. And also, you have to be at least 18 in order to come and volunteer with us. And also, for additional information in regards to that, contact Cindy Trumbauer, and her number is 996-3292, or you can email her at cindy.trumbauer@ci.raleigh.nc.us. Our egg hunts, we will have 25 locations. I'm sorry.
City left some flyers on the table.
Yeah, I knew it's there.
All right, we'll have 25 locations for our egg hunts. So you can check your leisure ledger for additional details in regards to that. Our Bark Around the Park, which is an event where we schedule activities for our neighborhood dogs. That will be at Millbrook Exchange on April 17th at 12 p.m. For additional information, please contact Millbrook Exchange. Their number is 872-4156. And also our Spring Fest, which is always a big event that we have annually. It's going to provide some entertainment, some rides, some displays, some vendors, food for the entire family. I'm actually running the bingo booth, so if you guys come out there, it's going to be at Chavis Park, April 24th at 12 p.m. So you guys come out there, say hey to me. All right. So upcoming athletic registrations. We're currently in the midst of baseball, youth baseball. Our next big thing we will have is RPD Summer League Basketball, which registration will begin on March 29th and will run through April the 11th. Some upcoming public meetings that you guys might want to be on the lookout for. Parks and Recreation and Greenway Advisory Board will meet the third Thursday of the month at 2401 Wade Avenue at 5:30. The Parks Committee, a standing committee of the Parks, Recreation, and Greenway Advisory Board meeting scheduled for Thursday, March the 4th, has been canceled. The Parks and Recreation Department will be hosting a JC Community Center renovations public meeting on Wednesday, March the 31st at 6 p.m. at JC Community Center. And we do encourage all citizens to participate in this meeting and offer feedback concerning the design options. Also, the Parks and Recreation Department will be hosting the Carolina Pines Community Center renovations public meeting on Tuesday, March the 30th at 7 p.m. at Carolina Pines Community Center. You're also encouraged to attend that as well. And lastly, the Parks and Recreation Department will host a public information meeting to review planning for the new look of the interior program and space at Sergeant Courtney T. Johnson Center on Thursday, February 25th at 6:30 p.m. at Sergeant Courtney T. Johnson Center, located 1801 Proctor Road here in Raleigh. And that is pretty much all I have. Are there any questions, comments, concerns, anything I need to do? But you guys know where to find me, Assistant Director here. Just give me a call, stop by, see you. All right.
All right, thank you, Jason. I appreciate that. All right, I guess at this point we'll go ahead and move to our presentation. We'd like to welcome Mitchell Silver, the Planning Director of the City of Raleigh. He's going to come talk to us about some exciting new plans for the New Bern Avenue corridor and the Capitol Boulevard corridor. So, Mr. Silver, let's give him a hand.
Oh, I'm told it's hot.
There you go.
Okay.
We're casual here.
All right, the time's coming off too.
There you go.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's a delight to be here. It's actually my second time here, not in this space, but in another space. But I'm here to talk about just two things. First, James is not here this evening, so I'll give you an update in terms of what's happening citywide. And I hope all of you know that we are updating our development code for the city. In fall, the council adopted a comprehensive plan, and now the next major step is to update our development code. These are the rules everybody has to follow in order to build anything in the city of Raleigh. And so the consultants are here today and tomorrow to have some listening sessions, because right now we have the report online to get public input, but these are going to be the development rules that we're going to use as we start to look at neighborhoods and commercial buildings and industrial buildings, hopefully for the next 30, 40, or 50 years. So please, if you hadn't had a chance, go online. It's newraleighcode.com, and you can go to that site and see what is going on. I'm here tonight to talk about two things. One, just to give you an update, but the second one, to get some feedback from you. The first project I'll talk about is Capitol Boulevard. The good thing about adopting a comprehensive plan is that I come from the world where you do a plan, it doesn't sit on a shelf. And during that planning process, we identified a couple of important projects that we have to implement over the next 20 years. And based upon that public feedback, two projects, which we're about to start very soon, surfaced to the top of the list, and the council confirmed that we need to get started on these two projects. The first is Capitol Boulevard, basically from Lane Street all the way to the Beltline. That's a 3-mile corridor. And then the other one is New Bern Avenue from downtown all the way out to Wake Med. I'll talk about Capitol Boulevard first. This one, during the comprehensive plan process, almost every meeting we went to, they said if you do anything in the future, fix Capitol Boulevard. It is our gateway street. It is an embarrassment for some of us driving into the city. It has multiple personalities. It's underused, and we need to do something. Well, we're about to start that process, most likely in May. We're going to have a public outreach process. We're going to have design workshops. Because it's a 3-mile stretch, it's very difficult for you to get your hands in. So we're going to have designers helping neighborhood groups. We'll advertise these meetings. But we really envision an important link between downtown and Midtown, which is the North Hills area, using Capitol Boulevard as that link between those two emerging places. We hope we will see greenway, bikeway, walkway, envisioned as a lot more density with streetcar and possibly light rail to start connecting downtown to midtown, looking at Capitol Boulevard as a connection. For years, people have talked about this. We're going to see whether we can daylight Pigeon House Creek, which basically daylight means you want to see it. You channelize it with walls, you have walkways next to it, and if we can look at the stormwater issues, because it's right near a floodplain, we'll find out if we can work with the state to find creative ways of keeping that flow down that river walk. So for the first time, starting all along Capitol Boulevard, ending at Devereaux Meadows, we can create an appropriate gateway, a greenway, a neighborhood, a destination on Capitol Boulevard as you enter our downtown. So we're all very excited in our office. I interviewed, I know Bobby did as well, with the Triangle Business Journal. I didn't give my normal interview because I was so much gushing with excitement that this is a very cool and exciting project. And so if you feel the same way when we announce the outreach effort, we encourage all of you to get involved. We usually have designers. We find a way that if all you can do is draw one line, that's fine. We'll have people help you. But it's important that all of you play a role. If you believe that there is appropriate to have a vision for Capitol Boulevard, we want you to join us again starting in May to come out to these design workshops and tell us what you think and what we should do with this very important corridor for our city. Are we on the right track just by show of hands? All right. Now the one that's going to start, believe it or not, almost the same time is a New Bern Avenue corridor, another gateway. Again, the council prioritized this one should be important as well. With all of these projects, we want to engage the CAC. For the New Bern, we'll be dealing with three CACs. We've already been out to North Central, and we met with them. Part of that conversation was to find out, okay, we know New Bern Avenue is a problem. Can you tell us, what is your expectation about what you'd like to see when we're finished? That's very important to us, is that we like to have a conversation about what are your expectations? So we understand, when we're finished, did we meet your expectations? But also, there's only been so much the city can do. We had a conversation, for example, in North Central, where there are a lot of older properties that were privately held, that they said, can you do something with those properties? Well, the city is limited in terms of what we can do with private property, but there are things we can do, what we call public intervention. So we'll be looking at from downtown all the way to WakeMed. We'll want to have neighborhood meetings. It may vary right now because we're going to do it in phases. There's one phase closest to downtown. There's another phase from Swain to Tarop to Raleigh Boulevard. And then the ones we want to engage with you, which is in your CAC, from Raleigh Boulevard all the way out to WakeMed. And so we're going to want to work with you to find out what are some of your concerns. And if you don't mind, if there's time tonight, Mark, I'd like just to get some input from you this evening, because we have to scope out the project so that we know exactly what it is that we need to do. When we went out to the North Central CAC, they had three primary concerns. Theirs was public safety, there was beautification, and there was cultural identity. Those were the three most important issues when we looked at New Bern Avenue between Raleigh Boulevard and Swain. That may be different for this community. We are looking at the possibility of transit down that corridor, be it light rail or what we call bus rapid transit. They're more modern buses that also stop at a platform and a station that would take us from downtown all the way to WakeMed. The city of Raleigh is putting a grant to see whether we can actually initiate a bus rapid transit, because we found out outside of downtown, WakeMed is one of the highest destinations in terms of that transfer point for riders. So that is also another critical corridor that we want Raleigh residents to be proud of. So I'm really here just to see your feedback about New Bern Avenue. We're working with Wake County because of WakeMed and the library. We're aware that this Enlo is within that corridor. There's a Longview Shopping Center. There are other land uses, but it's very residential, very different than the Tarboro to Raleigh Boulevard. And so I just wanted to get a sense from you about if there's, Mark, is there time permitted for me to have this?
Sure.
So I can just get some feedback from some of you about what are your expectations if we do a study that you'd like to see, what are some of your concerns, and then we'll see if we have a conversation about what the city can do and what we can't do along this corridor. But we're looking to start this project also in May. Because it's in phases, we'll have separate meetings with North Central, other meetings with the ECAC communities, and then we'll splice them all together at the end. So with that, I'll just open it up and I'll repeat the question so people can hear you. Just so your reactions, comments, issues, concerns about the New Bern corridor. Yes, sir.
I'd like to see curbs and sidewalks.
Okay, there wasn't a question, but there was an expectation. They would like to see curbs and sidewalks, I would assume, on both sides. Is that correct? Okay. May we get a question in the blue shirt, a blue jacket? Yes, sir.
I have a concern. Several weeks ago, the shopping center on Grand City,
I don't know. I don't know. I could contact either Public Utilities or Public Works, but I do not know. Excuse me? Yes. Yes.
Is something within a third, 7 to 8 feet
underground
right here?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, there was a question about some work that is, there are some observation cameras that are looking, as a gentleman said, some 60 to 80 feet below. And the question was, what are they observing that far below the surface? And I did not know the answer, and I told him I would try to find out that answer, whether it's utilities, whether it's City of Raleigh, the state, or some other agency. And so I will try to get an answer for him. Or at least I'll get it to Mark. Yes, sir. Modern rapid transit with light rail runs right into the same lane the cars run. It does not go into the median. It costs a little bit more, but essentially it goes along with the same travel lane, or you can create another lane, but they tend to go into the right-of-way or the road. So those are the modern light rail. So you don't have to use the median to take that out. The question was, I'm sorry, there's a median on New Bern, which is very attractive and very green. The concern is if you use transit, which you have to take out that green strip to put in the transit and the light rail, and the answer you just heard is you could put that in a travel lane or add another lane because now the light rail runs the same as a car on asphalt or concrete. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, you're... Now, though the question was that over by Wake Med, there's a lot of offices related to the hospital and very little of retail would people would want to go there unless you go into the hospital. Is there anything the City of Raleigh can do? That's a tough one. We can certainly, a lot of it has to do with the market. Clearly, pharmacies, it's no surprise that medical offices or medical-related type uses want to be near a hospital. Of course, that makes a lot of sense if people want to walk and can walk if there are sidewalks, but that's a product of the market. We can certainly zone to allow for more retail, but if the property doesn't believe there's a market for retail, they won't put it there. It'll probably focus on doctor's offices and pharmacies that relate to the hospital themselves. But I can put that down as a note. Right behind you, yes. I didn't hear the total part of your second question. The first one, I assume that's Longview Shopping Center. The question is that that is a shopping area we all know that needs help. And the question is, can the city buy it and then help redevelop it? Your second question was the Tower Shopping Center.
Right. It's
right. Yeah. This study is going to stay roughly about 100 to 150 feet along both sides of the corridor. Any land uses along that corridor are the ones that we're going to study. Anything beyond that, it won't be part of this study. To answer your first question, typically cities that have economic development departments or authorities actually go out, purchase property, package it, and then sell it. We don't have that here in the city of Raleigh. Secondly, the current laws dealing with what the city can purchase, they can purchase it and put it back on the market, but that's typically done through an economic development department or authority. It's something the city of Raleigh does not do. We work with the private owners to see how we can help them reposition the site, how to rezone it, probably offer infrastructure, but the city of Raleigh does not typically acquire land and then sell it unless it's at a rock bottom price and we see it as a great opportunity. But we just don't have the funds on hand to go out and buy land unless it's for a greenway where we have bond money in place or a transportation project where there's bond money in place. We don't typically do things like that. Sir.
Along those same lines, I would like to encourage you. I believe there are only two businesses that have road access on the New Bern Avenue between Raleigh Boulevard and McMahon. And if we could avoid adding to that, encouraging people to go to places like Longview Shopping Center. And the thing that comes to my mind is what the situation with the ABC store. Is it going to be another street access business, or could it be put here? Longview Shopping Center.
The question, there's a concern about the number of access points on New Bern Avenue as you go to the various shopping centers. And the question is, will we be increasing the number of those access points along New Bern? There was a second question about the ABC store, and will we be adding access to the ABC store or moving it to Longview? Let me answer the second part first and the first one. We will not be moving any businesses. That's not part of this corridor. We'll be focused on safety, more of the streetscape plan about what we can do, what intervention we can put in place from the city point of view, but moving one liquor store to another location is not what we're doing. New Bern Avenue is a state road. They control access on and off. As we do the study, we'll make a determination how, if there's recommendations for more or less, that will come out of the study, but it's premature for me to say at this point what's the right answer. But whatever we do, we'd have to go to the state to get their sign off because it is a state road. But we will look at access, we'll look at sidewalks and bikeways and safety and bus shelters and all those things really to make it a functional street and a good connection and gateway into the city. I'm sorry, in Red Hat, you had your hand up first.
We are sort of in an economic downturn.
You want me to be honest? I don't believe there's interest right now, but when we look at our 20-year plan, there will be interest. It always goes with density. If there is a bus rapid transit along Wake Med, that will make it more attractive to those that want to invest. If there is higher density at key locations, that would make it more attractive for people to invest. There may somebody want to take a chance and actually redevelop some of the older parcels because they believe, looking at the trends, that that New Bern will change over time. We have conversations with Wake Med about, is there a way that they can do a development to provide housing for people who work at Wake Med? So in terms of the looking for partnerships across the board, this is a difficult time for developers. But by putting a plan in place, it positions us for when the economy does turn. And if we look at zoning, we look at possible density at key locations and transportation enhancements, those are the important investments that the private sector is looking for that can only come from the public sector. So it is a partnership, but I would say in the near term, I don't see anything happening soon. In the long term, I do. Oh, I'm sorry, the question? I am so sorry. The question was, do we have any, we're currently in an economic downturn, and is there a market to see investment along New Bern Avenue? And that was generally the question. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'll follow up if you want to, because it seems like you're still not satisfied with the answer.
Well, my personal concern is
it's a tool, it's a kind of, okay, the question is, looking at both Capitol Boulevard and New Bern Avenue, would tax increment financing be a tool? For those of you that don't know what tax increment financing is, I'll try to explain it this way. You have a site that currently has low taxes today. You then project out 20 years and say, well, it may be only worth $10,000 in tax value, but maybe 20 years from now, it will be $200,000 in tax value. You take that value and then you try to borrow against it today, knowing you'll be paid back over time. So now you have a lot of money to invest, but it's risky. Currently right now the city council, they have a policy on how to approach it. Right now there's no appetite to use it because the council prefers to use certificate of participation bonds versus the TIF, but it is a tool that is out there. Raleigh just hasn't used it at this time. But it is a tool. Say it again? That's really up to the city council. They came up with a policy. We keep broaching it every few years. I'm sorry, I said what? You're right, Mark. I got to keep repeating the question. They want to know likelihood from the council, would they actually pursue it? And again, the council have dealt with this every 6 months, and they keep saying that it's probably not the best tool. The problem is we went to Minneapolis. A lot of council members heard the mayor of St. Paul say TIF was like crack. And that was a soundbite we wish we hadn't heard, because they say once you give it to one developer, every other developer wants it. And so this council said, let us proceed cautiously, because there are certain instances where TIF can be a problem and it doesn't work, but many other cities have used it effectively. So it's still out there as a conversation. It's just that right now, Raleigh is not ready to use it at this time. Wait, I want to make sure I got everybody new, and then, okay. Gentleman way in the back, and then ma'am, you're next.
Is there a plan to connect the traffic between the freeway and the Avenue 4 company?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's another one I will follow up on. I'm not sure about that's the Parks and Recreation. I'll find out what is their plan long term for connecting the Greenway. It was, could you repeat it again? Or the question is, can we connect the Crabtree Creek Greenway down to New Bern Avenue near Wake Med? Was that what?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
had a question about how soon do you think you'll see some improvement based on the plans that are being talked about right now?
Well, after our budget, okay, the question is how soon will we see improvements on New Bern Avenue? Here's the bad news, because we just came out of a budget meeting earlier today, and it looks like due to our current fiscal situation, we're going to be deferring capital budgets again. And so it's hard to say when, but right now we're keeping all of our capital expenditures on hold because we want to avoid a tax increase. So it's tough to say, but I can say at least for the next 4 to 5 years, you're not likely to see any change. So that's the sad news, but again, we want to avoid taxing our residents any further, and so there are some big projects that are on hold, there are smaller projects that are on hold, and so unfortunately, until the economy turns, there's not much that we can do. There was a point made that I had mentioned at the other CAC that cultural identity was very important as we look to New Bern Avenue, and there's the Longview Acres. Can we also, when we do this segment, also look at some of those cultural resources along New Bern Avenue? And the answer is absolutely, we would do that. Okay. The gentleman who had the red hat, but now it's, oh, you're done? Okay. Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. Okay, the question is, can we make sure through Mark that we let you all know when this planning process is going to begin? Because one thing about our department is when we're about to start a process, we're going to blast everybody, every way, every how, because if we don't get you to come, we see the planning process as a failure. So we'll work with the CAC, we'll work with Charlene Community Services. If the press is interested in doing a story, we'll get them to do something, but we definitely are going to do everything we can to get the word out, because we want you to come, we want to hear from you, because it makes the plan better. So we're committed to making sure you know when, how, where, and then we give you multiple sources, either online, in person, so we'll make it easier for you and work around all of you. Strip, is that right? The question is, she said she loves fast food restaurants, and can we get more of them? I'm kidding. The question was about the proliferation of fast food restaurants. That also came up at the North. They actually called it, I shouldn't say this on camera, they had a name for it, but it was something like that. It was chicken. Something Chicken Central, because you had churches and Bojangles. And
Chicken Strip.
Chicken Strip? I think that might have been. Was that it? Chicken Strip? It was an issue in that CAC as well. Clearly zoning plays a role. You can't prohibit it if it's zoned for it. And we're going to see exactly what we can do to either beautify it, try to make them be better neighbors and police themselves a lot better. I don't know if it's zoned to allow more of them along that corridor, but it's something we're taking a look at when we look at that CAC and work with them. But it was raised at the meeting as an issue, both from a health perspective as well as a gathering point for a lot of people who like to go there and wait there. Yes, sir.
I know that the city's trying to increase the residents of the type of outline of the 2030 plan. Do you see any part of the two boroughs that you see happening in New Bern, that they particularly go to the areas or to increase the density? Is that another part of that?
The question was that the gentleman noticed in the comprehensive plan that we're trying to encourage growth inside the Beltline. And do we see Capitol Boulevard and New Bern as two of those corridors? The answer is yes and no. In terms of the growth, we did our projections, and the city of Raleigh is expected to grow by 120,000 households over the next 20 years. We're not asking them to come. That is our growth projection. That's what the trend has been, and that's what we believe it will continue to be. So we have to figure out, where are we going to put, not people, households, 120,000 households. And based upon our analysis, we can't do it at 4 units to the acre. We can't do it at 6 units to the acre. We're going to run out of land. And so we're looking at where we could put more density where it makes sense. We picked 8 growth centers. Downtown is one of them. The Wake Med area is another one. So there is some along Newbern. And then we picked several corridors, Newbern and Capitol Boulevard being one of them. So the answer to the question is yes, we have an expectation to move density in those locations, but our code is going to tell us how tall it can be, how much density, so people will have some level of predictability that if they get density, what will it look like? So the answer to your question is yes on the Wake Med intersection, yes for downtown, and some on Crabtree, but not as much on Newbern because it's already built out as low density for the most part. Yes?
From listening to what people have said, it makes me want to think that when you do this, two of the main things that people brought up are public safety and some kind of investment in the area. And I can't see it being successful, speaking of the Newbern corridor, unless the planning involves public safety somewhere along the way. What we're doing right now is we're trying to retrofit a bunch of things in our neighborhood. Cameras, equipment, police stations, substations. Are you going to be planning for those along the way?
The answer is yes. When we do all of our planning efforts, depending on the issues, we bring, if it's the police, we have a wonderful relationship through the community-oriented government. If it's transportation, we bring them out. I'm sorry, the question is, recognizing that public safety and other issues will likely surface as we do the Newbern Corridor study, will we reach out to other professionals that need to assist us as we do this work? And the answer is yes. We typically will find out, once we hear the issues, we bring out the professionals. This corridor is going to be tough. I will not deny that it's going to be tough. There's no magic planning wand that we can wave to make things change and happen. You need transformative investments. For example, if there was a light rail, there would be developers running to Newbern Avenue. And then people would say, we're now being displaced, what are you doing? So we have another set of issues that we'll have to deal with. If it's bus rapid transit, another important investment, you'll start to see development follow. Fayetteville Street, $10 million translated to $2 billion in investment. Glenwood South, a few million dollars translated to hundreds of million dollars of investment. So public investment can transform a corridor, but I can tell you that once we do that, we may hear concerns about displacement, gentrification. We'll have to deal with that when that time comes. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time to determine, is it just sidewalks and better bus shelters and bikeways along Newbern? Is it just beautification? Do we have to target specific properties for code enforcement? You know, we have to find out what is it to start to move this corridor in the right direction. What's right for Capitol Boulevard may not be right for Newbern corridor. So that's something we'll determine in the planning process.
I'm the first bar on Glenwood South, and I'm one of the very first bars downtown in the new development. And I can tell you what's going to be, it's cheap rent. And, you know, if you can make cheap rent, safety is doing your things.
All right. The question was, he was one of the first in downtown and were first in on
Glenwood
South, and he said what made a difference there was cheap rent. Now, the problem is, in the other corridor between Raleigh Boulevard and Tarboro, they complained about the same thing and didn't get the uses they wanted because of cheap rent. But it's something we can certainly take a look at to see why yours worked, and we're having issues in that segment between Raleigh Boulevard and Tarboro Road. But that's a good point. The question is, when we went to St. Paul, did they have an economic development department, and is that something the city of Raleigh is looking into doing? The answer is yes, they do. And actually, 2 years ago, the city did approve and Economic Development Department, but then the recession hit and they took those three positions and they had to get rid of it because we had to close the budget gap. So the city is going to move in that direction. I think once we're out of the recession, we actually had three positions to start our Economic Development Department, but unfortunately nobody was hired. They just approved it, I believe, in July of 08. And then soon after, we had the at least the recession, and all those positions were first placed on hold, and then last year they were eliminated. We'll have to try again once the recession's over to see if we can reactivate that department or division. It was a division in my department. Yes, sir.
That's another observation about the residential spreads of people in Long Beach. Once you get Long Beach, it's really
the question was the speed limit on New Bern changes from 35 to 45, and is that something the city of Raleigh can look at? The answer is yes. It is a state road, and again, the Department of Transportation believes that they need to move one thing, and that's cars. Not necessarily people, but cars. And so that's a conversation we'll have to have with them. We believe you can accomplish both, but that is definitely a state road. It's definitely something we can raise with them to see whether they're willing to change the speed limit. We're having the same issue on Person Street, by the way, where that's another state road going right through Mordecai. There are also issues because, again, some goal is to get cars out as quickly as possible. All the way in the back. Yes. Yes, okay, let me see if I can repeat the question. Yes, yes. All right, that's a tough question, and let me see if I can repeat it. There's a two-part question. The concern is that when we look at the revitalizing of Capitol Boulevard and New Bern Avenue, they are near neighborhoods that are in transition. I'll just use that. With the uncertainty of what's happening with Wake County schools, how will this affect that revitalization, because the school assignment zones may draw districts that could slow down the redevelopment of those corridors because of, let's just say, the general population of those areas. Wow. Let me answer it this way. After March 23rd, if there is a decision, I know that our department is going to start to look very closely on the impacts these assignments will have on the city of Raleigh. Now, I'm a consultant. I've dealt with this a lot of years, but I don't want to start pulling stuff off the shelf and what happened in Kansas and Charlotte, that we need to look very carefully at these zones to find out what are the implications. Now, I need to be unbiased. I need to give the public information they need to make a decision. So I don't want to give an answer yet until I take a look, but this decision will have implications, and I don't want to get ahead of myself and tell you what those implications will be. So clearly, if there are implications, you're correct, it can have implications to the redevelopment of some of these corridors. So it's a good question. I don't have an answer yet, and I don't want to start to jump ahead based upon what happened in other cities to say this is what's going to happen. It is unknown. I mean, clearly there are examples of what happens when you go to a neighborhood or a community assignment-based system, is that clearly people start to buy into the school district versus a neighborhood. I mean, that happens all across the country. We'll have to see what these zones look like to understand, you know, who knows, they could be like our council districts, that every piece has a part of inside the Beltline and stretches out to outside the Beltline. I've heard that they do have these zones. We have to take a look and see the implications. So it's hard to answer your question, but it is true that once you create zones, that people start to, for the realtors, the first time, what they can say is, oh, if you're going to move in this neighborhood, here's the school. And so you start to make decisions based. Right now, you don't do that. You go into the neighborhood because of the amenities. Now, school, for the first time since the 70s, will now enter into the equation on where you buy. Tough question. I hope I skirted that one very carefully. Well, Charlene, yes.
Yeah, I have a question, and I don't know if it's answerable or not, but the Long Beach Shopping Center, I know the county is actually closing some of the libraries, but as it's coming down, how utilized is the Richard D. Harrison Library, and is there a possibility that, like what they did in Cameron Village, might be in the Long Beach, and shooting the library there along with some retail?
The question is, there's a library on New Bern. I'm sorry I didn't catch the name. Richmond Harrison is on New Bern. And would the county explore doing what they did in Cameron Village and actually relocate that library into the Longview Shopping Center as a brand new library? I don't think so. It's possible. I haven't heard that. But it's something I can ask the county. I don't know if that's something, because right now they're looking at closing certain libraries. It would be a big capital investment to actually move a brand new library to a new location. So it's not impossible. I think it's unlikely, but we can certainly ask that question. I want to make sure before I leave, because I'm hearing from the questions that in this environment, usually we like to have streetscape money set aside. So when we finish the planning, we can start to develop. Unfortunately, that's not the climate that we're in right now, but I can tell you that we have a list of 24 streetscape plans that are waiting. Your plan right now to start the study is at the top of the list. And we get calls all the time about, can you, so we just add them to the list and we go to council and say, please prioritize, because I don't want to be put in that position. So this is an incredible, exciting opportunity for you to get involved. And this request, I can tell you, came from Wake Med and came from North Central CAC. And we thought it did not make sense to do this study and leave this part of the corridor out of it. And so when I spoke to Mark, he kind of approached me and I said, look, we got to have this meeting. This is going to be a great opportunity. It'll be planning. I can't promise you money at this point because that's somewhat out of our control. I think this segment of the corridor is going to be different than the part between Tarboro and Raleigh. There are some clear issues. I'm sure you drive it. You know what I'm talking about. This one's a little bit different. We have Longview, but generally it's a very attractive. When I drive it, it's gorgeous. It's wonderful to drive. No sidewalks. Can't bike there unless you take your life in your own hands. But it has a different set of challenges. And low. High school is nearby. And so the character of this corridor is very different, but the best thing to do is have a plan in place. P Street. We finished the plan for P Street, streetscape. We had the money in place. We were ready to do it from St. Mary's all the way down to West Street. The money got pulled, and it's on hold. But we're ready to go. The minute we get the $2 million, we're ready to start the construction on P Street. And so again, to at least get the plan in place is important to move this forward. And so please come out, unless you have any other questions, please get involved. We're going to do this segment as one section, and then we'll do the part from Raleigh Boulevard toward downtown as the other segment, and then we're going to hopefully get all of you together just to compare notes, but we definitely want you to get involved in this project. Any other questions? All right, so we typically don't like to overwhelm CACs with projects, but you have Capitol Boulevard and you have New Bern, and unfortunately they're almost all going to happen at almost the exact same time. So sometime this summer, if you have nothing to do, maybe we'll have a barbecue or something to get people out. Then please keep an eye out for it, and we'll stay in contact with Charlene and Mark and our website to make sure you know when these efforts are underway. Any other questions or general questions? This is a tough crowd. I'm used to moving around. I'm kind of stuck right here. I don't know if you know me. I'm from New York, so I'm very animated. I move around a lot, so I was trying to make sure I answered all of your questions. Any other questions before I turn it back over to Mark? Okay.
Thank you, Mitch. We appreciate that update, and we'll be looking forward to having more as we move forward and participate in this. It's very exciting, the kind of changes that we're talking about here. I wanted to give Bobby a moment to step up and talk a little bit about the op-ed meeting. Are you okay with that? Just discussing a little bit about the proposed changes. And if anybody's interested in serving on a committee, now's a great time to step up, because we're getting these formed right now. So turn it over to you.
Good evening. Briefly, before the meeting, the op-ed committee met. Those are not familiar with that, Southreach Planning and Economic Development Committee. But what's been discussed most recently is separating those committees and having a separate outreach committee, a separate economic development committee, and a separate planning and zoning committee. So with that, I don't know, Charlene, if you want to say just a couple of words about the outreach committee. We do have a separate economic development committee, which will begin meeting probably in the next month. And as far as planning and zoning, nothing new has occurred recently, but that was basically the gist of the meeting, is just trying to separate these committees. I'm sure there's plenty of opportunities for folks to participate in the process. We certainly welcome that. And Keith, anything you'd like to say at all about your committee? Okay. And just one other thing before I leave, and Mitch is aware of this, I believe there's been some conversations, and OPEC committee is aware of this. We are attempting to convene a meeting with the major property owners along Capitol Boulevard in the next 2 weeks. Mac Paul and myself, Mac is a zoning attorney with K.L. Gates, and I've been working on this, and I met with Bobby Murray this morning, and we have met with 10 of the most, I would say, prominent or largest property owners along Capitol Boulevard, and the intent is possibly to create a nonprofit corporation which ultimately would assist with advocacy relative to funding, and that's exactly what Mitch was talking about. When you get to council level and trying to compete for funding for projects and capital improvement projects, it gets down to some politics. I think that's a fair statement. And so with the help, we hope, of these major property owners and business owners along Capitol, will be successful in seeing some results quicker, we hope, than 4 years, other than I think Mitch is right relative to general economic conditions without any question whatsoever. But anyway, there are efforts along to try to expedite improvements to the corridor. So any questions in that regard, and then I'll let these other folks speak.
Just real quick, my name is Keith. I'm going to be heading up, or more or less, the Economic Development Committee. So right now, we haven't quite met yet, but if you're interested, please let me know. I guess one of the main things I'm just trying to do is figure out what businesses we do have currently, and what are the cornerstones of the businesses in our area that maybe we can help try to promote, get them involved with our CAC a little bit more, and just try to figure out, well, what... It's not exactly 5 years down the road and not everything's developed, but what do we have and what can we focus on right now, and who can we partner with that is here, and just kind of starting from there. So not a whole lot of huge firm plans, but I have a lot of ideas. And if you're interested in the subject and trying to figure out what we do have and what we can focus on in our neighborhood now, I'd love to talk with you. Thanks.
I just wanted to take the time. Mark always helps to point out the nice things that Charlene and I and Sue and Bobby do. I just want everyone to give Mark a big hand and recognize what he does to put all these things together. Thank you.
That's funny. I didn't see that in the agenda. Okay. Charlene, I think, has just some closing announcements, and then we'll... and there's another announcement after Charlene, but come up to the microphone, Charlene. You don't get to get away from this. So.
It won't bite you.
It has before.
Oh, okay.
Okay, well, two things. I'd like to report on a study that we did at the city on the intersection of Bennett with Glasscock. If you're exiting, you know that if you look to your right, there's a hill. If you look to your left, there are a lot of trees, and it's hard to pull out. So we did have the city look into it, and they did ask the owners to trim up the crepe myrtles so that when you look left, now you can see what's coming. We had interest in having one of those fisheye mirrors posted, but the city said that they do not recommend using traffic mirrors for three reasons. It's not an approved traffic control device per the Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, the federal standard by which the city adheres to. Due to shape and material, the image is distorted in such a mirror and does not show true representation of vehicle distance and speed. A mirror's purpose is to show that a vehicle is there. However, many motorists use the mirror versus looking at the road to judge distance and speed. And also, third, maintenance and liability issues for such a mirror. Okay? So we did look into it, and that's the report on that. The other thing is the Marketing and Outreach Committee. If you're interested in serving on this committee, it's a great opportunity for you to do some actual fun projects. One of the things that we're looking into is like maybe having a newcomers package of info that is neighborhood relevant to our area, and some city supplies and promos and booklets and information in that giveaway package, such as the Leisure Ledger, which is a great resource for everything Parks and Recreation Department does. Another thing that we're looking at maybe doing is like a calendar for the ECAC. We have the Neighborhood Improvement Matching Grants funds that we can still apply for. However, that expires June 30th of this year. We can go ahead and get on board for one of those grants that can help us do the calendar and some other promotional activities such as logo design. Now, after June 30th and into a new fiscal year, as you know, the budget's tight, and we may not get that funding for grants. I hope we do, but we may not. So this is, you know, this is kind of waving the red flag and say, let's go ahead and take advantage of it and get as many projects funded as possible before June 30th. So here again, if you're interested in Marketing Outreach Committee, let me know. Okay? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shirley. Do you have another announcement? This will, okay. You can come up if you'd like. That's fine. Charlene survived, so I think.
Hi, my name is Anne Quarles. I teach at Powell Elementary, and I wanted to let you know that we're having a play on Thursday evening. It's a really cool performance to do once a year. It's called One Book, One School. The whole school reads one book. Every family gets a book, and the One Book, One School elective performs it. It's going to involve dance, art, drama. It's really a whole school collaboration. Every single kid knows the story. And it's a very cool story about Henry Brown, who was a slave in Virginia, who literally mailed himself to Philadelphia in a box. So it's called Henry Box Brown. It's a great opportunity to see what goes on at our school every day and every year, and a true representation of the impact of a magnet school in a diverse neighborhood. So Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Yes, ma'am. Thursday, this Thursday, March 18th. Yes. At 7 o'clock. At Powell Elementary on Marlboro. Admission cost. Donations will be accepted. No. No admission. Just come and support our school.
All right.
Thanks for that, Ann, and we'll email those details for you, too, if you're on the mailing list, the ECAC mailing list. All right. Are there any other questions or, okay, announcements? Yes, Rebecca. Can you come up? Tough to hear. Jason, are we going to have our regular, is it going to be available, our meeting room available for next month, you know? Okay. All right. Good. All right.
Okay, so my question is for Mark or anybody else who knows, but if you've been following the school board fiasco, according to some websites that I've looked at, Powell Elementary, which is in our CAC and a lot of our kids are headed toward or are in, is going to be the highest poverty school in the entire county if they go to the neighborhood schools plan and draw from our neighborhood. So obviously, I'm concerned about that. I know other parents are concerned if they're aware of it. And we're also at 192% capacity if they go by, if the neighborhood schools plan is you go to the school closest to you, which is what they have said it's going to be. So obviously, they're not going to be able to do that, but there is some concern about what's going to happen to our neighborhood. Are people going to be moving out of the neighborhood because they're afraid to go to the schools? So if there's any way that we can, as a CAC, get involved in the process of them deciding what our neighborhood school is going to be or what's going to happen to the magnet program, because that's another concern. If you look at our, you know, what they're guessing is going to be our magnet district, well, they're saying that every district is going to have their own magnet school, and our magnet is drawing from a community where we're at 80, 70% free and reduced lunch. We're not really drawing any of the type of students in, or not the capacity to draw in those students who they say, you know, are going to uplift the school. We don't have that many to choose from. So, you know, if there's any way we can get involved and really get our CAC concerns to the school board and have them realize the impact this could have on our community, I think that would be huge right now, because it doesn't sound like they're even thinking about what's happening within the Enloe area.
Okay, thanks, Rebecca. And I do encourage everyone to make their concerns known to the school board, no matter what your thoughts are. Wes, you have another? Okay. Yes, sir. I think I only heard part of that, but so St. Aug's won the CIAA tournament. Well, that's worth a round of applause then. Excellent. Yeah, it'd be nice to have somebody here at the meetings, even though they're not technically in the ECAC. All right. If there are no further announcements, we will go ahead. Okay, Jason, you have something? I'm sorry.
Just real quick, just put the chair back on the rack, you guys don't mind.
Yes, it was bring a chair night tonight. It's also take a chair and put it on the rack, so that'd be good. And anything else before we close? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Richard Beckley-Maskell.
Okay.
Hello, everyone.
My name is Cheryl Merritt. I'm a housing counselor with Consumer Education Services, and I'm just here this evening visiting your CAC. I want to just bring some information to you to let you know that we're available to offer free home buyer education as well as foreclosure prevention counseling, and I've left some information on the table for you if you're interested. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Cheryl. If there are no further announcements, we'll go ahead and adjourn. Please take your chairs over to the rack if you would. Thank you so much for putting up with our temporary meeting space, and we'll see you next month in April, okay? Thank you.
Mark, you want the mic every
Yeah, thanks, Jason. This was a lifesaver. I mean, this really made a difference. In a room like this?
Oh, yeah.
And even in the back room. Yeah.
I heard anything.